welcome to the DriveCast. This is Ed Travers. This past Sunday in Worthington, we continued in our series, Now Playing, where we look at movies in the culture and talk about how good stories that we see often point to great stories in Scripture. And we looked at Wicked for Good. This is the sequel to the movie Wicked, which is a two-part movie that's based off the 2003 Tony Award-winning musical Wicked. It's the backstory from The Wizard of Oz, which we all grew up with. And the story really follows these two main characters, Elphaba and Galinda. Elphaba was born green and experienced an incredible amount of injustice growing up, and she just had that bent in her that she really demanded justice and saw injustice, she wanted to fight that. Then there's Galinda, who grew up with a lot of charisma and wanted to be the most popular person in all of Oz and really just wanted love and everyone to love her. So those two become roommates, and the story unfolds as their two opposite-ended people end up becoming dear friends and in the end realizing that they needed each other to become the best version of themselves. It's a cool story, but it got me thinking about what good really is. You know, that they in the end of the movie are singing about how they, because of the other person, they were good or they were changed for good. It brings up the story of the rich young ruler. It's covered in three of the different Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And in Mark, it says this. It says, "And he was setting out on his journey, Jesus, and a man ran up and knelt down before him and asked, 'Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone.' And he said, 'You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother.' And he said to him, 'Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth.' And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, 'You lack one thing. Go sell all you have and give to the poor, and you have treasures in heaven, and come follow me.' Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." You know, it's a pretty incredible story that here's this man who was obviously young. We see from the other texts of Scripture that he was a ruler, so he's probably served in the synagogue or maybe was in charge of certain things or even possibly higher than that, but he also was wealthy. Whether he was born that way or earned it himself, this guy had all the things that you want in life to be a rich young ruler. He had it all, the world on a string. And he must have been watching Jesus, and so Jesus is getting ready to leave, and he figures, this is my chance. So he goes up to Jesus and asks him, "Okay, good teacher, what do I got to do to go to heaven?" Right? It's a question that everyone asks. But Jesus answers in a way that is really unique. He never really truly answers the question. He says, "Why do you call me good? There is no one good but God alone." And then what happens is, Jesus says, "Well, you know the commandments that have with how to treat each other." And the boy's like, I've done all that since I was a kid. Like, that's my whole life. I'm a good guy. And then Jesus looks at him with love, it says, and says, "Go sell all your possessions and give it to the poor. Then you'll have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me." And the guy can't, he's out. And I think about this guy and think, man, Jesus, why did you give him that extreme step? Why couldn't you just give him a smaller step? Said he looked at him with love. And I think that what this really highlights to us is this, is that this guy wanted to know, God, are we good? Have I lived a good enough life? I have a good life here, it seems. You've blessed me in so many ways. I want to have a good life in heaven. How can I be sure of it? And his ambition to get that affirmation missed his opportunity to see clearly who he was talking to. Jesus, when he said, there's only one good, God. Is that why you're calling me good? Do you recognize me, if you will? Is that what you really want? Do you want me? That's what he was saying. And look, if you really want me, then get rid of the thing that's holding you back, which is your possessions. Let go of those things. And look, you're going to be rewarded for that. And come follow me. He was offering him something amazing, but the guy couldn't see it. Instead of seeing the good that was there, he literally saw that he would have to give up what he really wanted, which was control of his life and all of the possessions. And he's basically saying, I have a good life here. I want a good life there. And he missed out. He couldn't see it. His ambition blinded him. And I think there's a reality here to us that sometimes the way we approach God is, God, I have an agenda for my life. This is what I want. And God, if you'll just give me my agenda, if you'll just bless my life and give me the best version of good in my life, then I'd be so happy. And sometimes we miss what God's actually trying to do. I don't think that Jesus was being unreasonable, but to ask him to get rid of the thing that was blinding him. And sometimes he's doing the same thing in our life. It's just so hard to see. God, give us eyes to see the work you're doing in our life. Give us eyes to recognize you, that we wouldn't long just for better circumstances, but we would long for what it means to be connected to you, that you would change us for good, that you're trying to do in and through our lives. Lord, help us to do that in your son's name. Amen. Well, take a second before you move on and think this through. Are there areas of your life where the thing that you want is so important to you that you'd have a hard time giving it up if Jesus asked you for it? Take some time with that. Pray that through. Until next time, God bless.